Let me read the passage for us. We're in Mark 15, verse 40, where we picked up from the small group passage and then through 16, verse 8. I'm also reading from the ESV, FYI. There were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph and of Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Of course, the hymn there is Jesus. Verse 42, and when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud and, taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The title I'm taking for my talk today is Believe the Unbelievable. What do you think of when you hear the word believe? In just a few months, Christmas will be here, and we will be inundated with the word believe on greeting cards, on signs, and it means different things. Many times it means believe in Santa Claus, right? Or maybe the magic of Christmas that we want to believe in, or the goodness of mankind. Why this call to belief? Why are we calling people to believe in something? We want people to believe in something, even if it's unbelievable, like Santa Claus. Well, one of the most unbelievable realities in the history of the world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? The question before us is, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And this passage wants to convince us of it. It wants us to say yes. In this entire gospel account, Mark, the author, he's chiefly concerned with telling his readers about who Jesus is. And to fully understand his identity, we have to understand that he is resurrected. He's not just the Christ. He's the resurrected Christ. He's not just the Son of God. He's the resurrected Son of God. So Mark wants to convince us that Jesus is risen. Do you believe that Jesus is risen? I know it's really funny that I'm asking a group of Bible teachers who are surely Christian if you believe this or not. But I think it's what Mark is asking here. I think this passage warrants it. Do we believe he's risen or not? I'm sure you would say yes. I believe it. But do you really believe it? And do you believe it all the time? There are certain situations where we're confronted with this question and how we answer it. How do we sometimes doubt the resurrection? I'll give you two examples. How do you face a life and death situation? Have you been faced with, the classic thing is a medical diagnosis, or maybe a near fatal car accident? There's several things that you can think of. Have you been faced with that? How do you react to it? What the way you react could show us what you believe about the resurrection. Or second situation, what do you do when you are grieved beyond consolation? What if someone close to you dies? How do you handle the grief? What do you actually believe about the hope of the resurrection? Do you believe that Jesus is risen? We'll consider this question by looking at this passage, looking at two facts that Mark wants us to know. First, confirming that Jesus' dead body is buried. And then second, that Jesus' dead body is risen. So we enter Mark's story here at the scene of the crucifixion. The centurion in verse 39, right before here, has just given this incredible declaration saying, in the way that he saw him die, this must be the Son of God. And then in verse 40, here we go, it says, there were also women looking on with the centurion from a distance, and among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and Joseph, and of Salome. Now, I just have to say, it's an interesting choice that Mark is choosing women to give this witness. Okay, we're Bible teachers. We know this, right? In Mark's day, the testimony of women was not highly revered. It was usually just ignored in a sense. But I think this actually makes his case more convincing that he risks an unbelievable witness to witness to the fact of what's happened. But he risks it because it's the truth. He's trying to give us the facts. He's trying to give us the truth. The women witness Jesus hung on the cross. The women witness Jesus die on the cross. The women they're about to witness Jesus buried. So that's our first witness here of the dead body. We turn to another character then in verse 43, this Joseph of Arimathea, our second witness to Jesus' death. It says that, verse 43, Joseph is a respected member of the Jewish council. He was looking for the kingdom of God. And I think that part right there is really key. He was looking for the kingdom of God because remember way back yesterday morning in Mark 1, in our opening small group passage, we first heard Jesus' voice saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And now Joseph of Arimathea, who was looking for the kingdom of God, has found Jesus. He's found Jesus, so he's found the kingdom. So, you know, we might even wonder, did Joseph get it? Does he know who Jesus is? Wanting to take his dead body, wanting to give his dead body a proper burial. Well, it moves on in the scene here to Pilate. Pilate is very surprised that Jesus is already dead. Most crucifixions took much longer. And so he needs to confirm it. Is Jesus already dead? I don't know. You know, he doesn't believe it yet. And now this is important for us to answer this question. If Jesus really died, did he really die? It matters because it will make our earlier question, do you remember at the very beginning, or it's up there on the screen, do you believe that Jesus is risen? It makes that question either completely irrelevant because maybe he was just sick or he fainted or, you know, or he wasn't sick on a cross, but like he fainted or he was like kind of still there. That this question would be irrelevant, right? So we need to ask, did he really die? Is this resurrection just a healing of sorts? Well, what proof does Mark give us that Jesus really died? Look at the repetitions in the passage. Start in the middle of verse 43 here. Joseph took courage and he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Verse 44, Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. Again, I'm reading in the ESV, so your translation might be slightly different. But it's pretty clear by these repetitions, he kicked the bucket. He's gone. We have many witnesses to confirm his death. The women saw it. Joseph believes it. The centurion confirms it, so Pilate believes it too. Jesus died. So Joseph treats his body here like a dead body, like a corpse. Verse 46 says that Joseph bought a linen shroud and he took him down. So let's picture this. He takes him down from the cross. So I don't know, removing nails from hands and feet. He takes him down, and I don't think he could have done that by himself. They had to lift a grown man's body off, I mean, a carpenter's body too, right? He might have been a ripped dude. So they had to pull him off of that. They had to wrap him in a linen shroud, and they had to lay him in the tomb. So during this process, if this corpse, this dead body, had any life in it, they would have known. They would have known. They're not about to bury someone that they love. You wouldn't put somebody in a coffin if you weren't sure that they were dead, right? This man is dead. The stone is in place. So verse 47, we have the women again here, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. So do you believe that Jesus died? That's what Mark wants you to believe. Do you believe that Jesus really died and that his dead body is buried? Mark gives us proof. He gives us proof that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified, dead, and buried. If you believe that he was crucified, dead, and buried, then the next scene is nearly unbelievable. The dead body rises from the dead. So the scene moves then in chapter 16, verse 1. Just after the Sabbath, the three women decide in verse 1 to buy spices so they might go and anoint Jesus. And what happens here in this scene from verses 1 to 4 is actually very normal. This isn't a surprising thing. It's common to anoint dead bodies with spices and oils so that the body doesn't start to smell. So they do this in verse 2. They very early on the first day of the week on Sunday, as soon as the Sabbath was passed, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. That's very reasonable for them to do. And they ask, in verse 3, they ask a very reasonable question. Who's going to roll away the stone for us? But then in verse 4, we get a hint of tension. The very first hint of tension, they look up and they see that the stone had been rolled back. So maybe somebody beat them to the tomb. Maybe it was Joseph of Arimathea. Maybe he went and he brought his friends and they got the big body off the cross. So they put the stone in place. Maybe they could roll it back. Maybe that's what happened. But the big surprise comes in verse 5, doesn't it? And this should be surprising to us, okay? If we really believe he died, this should be surprising to us that verse 5. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And I don't know if they were more alarmed by what they saw or by what they didn't see, because they definitely did not see Jesus's body. That they saw, didn't it say that in chapter 15, verse 47? They saw where he was laid. And now they did not see him. Instead, they see this young man sitting on the right side. Not on the left side, not in the middle, but on the right. Well, the right side. That's for you. For you over here, it's the right side. It happened. They were eyewitnesses. He's giving us facts. He's giving us the truth. And this man on the right side was dressed in a white robe. And this white robe, the women would have suspected an angel of sorts. One commentator says that white clothing is a mark of heavenly visitation. So they would have expected an angel of sorts. And this young man here doesn't beat around the bush. He has an announcement to make, and it comes out in these short, simple phrases. He says, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. And so far, I am with you, brother." What else you got to say? He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. This changes everything. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, but he's risen. A dead body is risen. Do you believe it? It's not that his dead body was stolen. it's risen, alive. Alive. You will see him in Galilee, the angel says. It says there in verse 7, go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you. You're going to see him there in Galilee, just as he told you. This is unbelievable news. Do the women that receive this news, do they believe that Jesus's dead body is actually risen from the dead? Do they believe it? What happens in verse 8? They go out, so they take that advice from the young man, because he said go, and they go. They go out. What do? They fled, trembling, astonished. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. If anyone was ready for what happened, it was the close followers of Jesus. If we've been reading through all of Mark, we've been following the disciples and the followers of Jesus as they see him do miracles and hear him teach. And one of the things that he teaches over and over again in the Gospel of Mark is he will die and he will rise. Okay, so let's just do some review. In one of our small group passages, chapter 8:31, it says, Mark says, and Jesus began to teach them, the disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Right? We remember that from yesterday, don't we? Well, then a few verses later, the next passage, chapter 9, verse 9, it says, as Jesus and the disciples were coming down from the mountain after the transfiguration, Jesus told them to not tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So he told them again. And of course, it says the disciples kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising of the dead might mean. And then in chapter 9:31, it says again, Jesus was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Did they get it yet? Did they get it yet? Chapter 10, verse 33. This is Jesus speaking. He says, see, we're going to Jerusalem. Ready? Okay, so this is what's going to happen. We're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, but after 3 days, he will rise. So as readers, that's us, of Mark's gospel, we shouldn't necessarily be surprised at what happens, because he's told us what will happen. But even more than just us as readers, these people had been with Jesus. They had heard the teaching directly from him. They maybe even asked him about it. The women should have expected this, but they fled. It says, verse 8, they fled, trembling, astonished. They were afraid. And throughout Mark's gospel, and it even ends in Mark's gospel just like this, the idea of failure as a disciple is slowly weaved throughout, of people just not getting it. They still see trees, men like trees walking around. They haven't quite gotten it. And I wonder if we ever feel like that sometimes. I know I do. Sometimes I really feel like a failure as a disciple, like, didn't get it. I didn't quite believe it. Sometimes I doubt the genuineness of this story. Do we ever hesitate on the truth and the reliability of this gospel truth? And I think I think what we believe comes out with how we comes out by how we live, right? So if I say I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then do I actually live what I believe? So do I really live like I believe in the resurrection? And do I really live like I believe what the resurrection means for a believer? So, for example, Ephesians 2 says, this is what it means that Jesus died and rose again. Ephesians 2, verse 4, I'm sure Lynn could quote it for us. But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is what the death and resurrection of Christ means for us. So that, this is still Ephesians 2, in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The death and resurrection of Christ means we have immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We don't believe in a Santa Claus, okay? We believe in the risen Christ. Even if you believe in Santa Claus, am I bursting somebody's bubble right now? I'm not sure. Even if you believe in Santa Claus, all he gives you is presents one day a year. That's it. What does Jesus give you? The immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness. He gives you everything. He gives you new life. He gives you the gift of the resurrection. That's the hope of the resurrection. Though we die, we will be made alive and we will reign with Christ. And this should affect everything about the way that we live right now. When someone we love dies, we grieve, but we grieve with the hope of the future resurrection. If that person was a believer, you grieve knowing that they will be raised. If you were unsure of their salvation, well, you still know that you have the hope. You know what the hope of the resurrection is. It like almost confirms in you more like, I'm glad that I do believe, right? When we're faced with a life and death situation, whatever that may be, we are certain that, not that we're begging for a death wish, but we are certain that our death will actually lead to new life in the resurrection. Do we really believe that? I mean, you don't know until you are faced with that medical diagnosis or that near fatal car accident and you're in the hospital. Like, you don't know really what, when push comes to shove, when the rubber hits the road, what do you really believe about that resurrection? And I think if we just wake up every morning, no matter if we don't know what is going to come at us that day, when we wake up each morning, we can thank God for a resurrected Christ that gives us a hope and an assurance that no Christmas present or Christmas placard can ever bring us. We don't need Christmas cards calling us to believe. We just have to read Mark 15:40-16:8. That tells us to do it. So as we leave this passage here at verse 8 with these women, let's go back to them and think, what are they going to do? Mark leaves us with these questions. What are they going to do? Will they remain afraid forever? Will they just keep fleeing? And I think Mark's purpose in closing this passage here is it actually doesn't really matter what they do. It matters what you do, reader. He wants to leave us with this question. What do I believe? Am I going to follow in the women's footsteps? Am I going to live like Jesus is dead? Or am I going to believe he's alive? Which way is it? Christ's resurrection is nearly unbelievable. There's no doubt about that. It is nearly unbelievable. But will you believe the unbelievable? We have the proof. We have the testimony to say he is risen. He's risen indeed.